Manchmal willst du einfach nur ans Meer. Oder durch die Straßen einer lebendigen Stadt schlendern. Oder endlich den Moment genießen. Einfach die Welt mit TUI neu erleben. Mit TUI reist du so, wie du willst. Als Familie, zu zweit oder einfach allein. Flexibel, sicher und immer mit dem guten Gefühl, dass jemand da ist, wenn es drauf ankommt. Gestalte mit TUI Urlaub ganz nach deinen Wünschen. Überall im Reisebüro, auf TUI.com und in der App.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where we're bringing to a conclusion our look at four big Disney bombs.
Terrific.
This might be the best one yet.
In what sense?
It's the latest, which means it's the one I remember the most, which makes it the best one yet.
Okay. Wouldn't that apply to every one of these you've just seen?
That's right.
Okay, great.
Best ones yet.
So if you watch The Lone Ranger again, you'd be like, this is the best one yet.
That's probably the best one yet. Or it would be if I watched it again, which I will after this.
Terrific.
Please leave a like, because let me tell you, I would love to watch The Lone Ranger again and have I would know that people support me in doing so.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just a bit of support, finally.
Finally. So to wrap this up, we're looking at 2015's Tomorrowland.
Whoa.
Or as now it's called on at least the Australian version of Disney Plus, Tomorrowland : A World Beyond.
Yes, it was also called that in its cinema release in the UK.
Ah, the Ook.
Because I wondered about this myself, and I did my own research. It's because in Europe, there the trademark Tomorrowland is taken by a music festival in Belgium.
Mm.
So it would be funny, I think, either way. Either like, you know, a bunch of optimistic teens show up to the hard electronica music festival. Because they're like, let's change the world and recycle after they've seen Tomorrowland, and then they show up to this. Or a bunch of like European hard house enthusiasts wearing like plastic pants and dog collars go to this movie being like, oh, we're in for a treat here. And it's George, it's George Clooney waving a ray gun about being like, these damn kids. Doesn't work either way.
No, you're right. There's no cross promo here. They could have called it Tomorrowland : George Clooney yells at little girls or whatever, because it's mostly that, isn't it? I mean, one's a robot and one's like 25, 26 in real life, I should say. But yeah, this is based on the Disneyland attraction, of course, of the same name, which opened in the 1950s.
Based on?
Yeah, loosely.
What's the deal with that attraction?
It's to be like, this is the future. What if optimism? What if the future, there was, you spoke to a robot?
Is this the attraction at Disneyland?
What if you hit the wheels on a car or whatever, had wheels?
But is this, what I'm asking, because I think there's a couple of Disneyland attractions that are similar. One is like, what if UFOs and ray guns and flying cars or whatever?
Sure.
And one was always like, look at this mobile phone, it's so small or whatever. Yeah. It was actual products kind of thing.
Okay.
But then I think at a certain point, someone will know in the comments, at a certain point, like, what you could just get in a shop was more advanced than what they were showing at the attraction.
At a Tandy Electronics.
Yeah,
or whatever.
They were like, look at this Nokia. And I'm like, great, I'll take a photo of that with my iPhone 17 or whatever.
I guess it probably could become like a retro future kind of thing.
I guess it could.
Which Brad Bird is in love with.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Is.
So, of course, they've done what they did on John Carter. They took a Pixar director. He did The Incredibles and The Iron Giant at this point. The screenplay is by him and also Damon Lindelof.
When did he do the Mission Impossible movie he did?
2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of hot juice right now.
I think so, yeah.
He's a man just dripping in hot Hollywood juice right now. Because he did The Incredibles, which many people, I think, still regard as one of the best Pixar movies, if not the best Pixar movie. He did a great Mission Impossible movie.
2011.
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
And this is his blank check. This is his, well, we trust you now. You cannot possibly fail. You can whatever is in the depths of your mind, Brad Bird, we will let you do that. We'll give you an unlimited budget to do this.
You can peck at anything you want, Brad Bird.
That's right, because you are in fact also a bird. You've overcome the adversity of literally being a bird.
That's right. Well, he was actually asked to direct Star Wars Episode 7.
Okay.
And he said, "No, I want to do Tomorrowland." Being able to do a film this size.
Just to be clear, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Yeah.
Which would have given him even more hot Hollywood juice.
Yeah.
An insane amount. He could have made 10 Tomorrowlands if he'd delayed this to make Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how his version was received. Probably pretty well, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. And if he came back to do 9, and if he made the exact version of Episode 9 that we got, I don't know if he would have that kind of... He'd be dripping in that Brad Bird juice anymore.
Yeah, he'd be basting away in that Brad Bird juice.
Though, I think his Episode 7 could have been very interesting.
I guess I'm just assuming he would just that pretty much the same script. Like, they would have said, make it like this, we need that these action sequences.
Well, it was Michael Arndt at one point, and he wrote some of the Toy Stories, and I don't know. But then they scrapped all that, and Abrams rewrote it and whatever. I don't know.
Also a Mission Impossible guy. In a way...
Wait!
In a way, making a Star Wars movie at this point is a Mission Impossible, isn't it?
It certainly is, Mason.
Because they're bad.
But we haven't seen The Mandalorian versus Groglet. It could be incredible. It could be incredible.
It couldn't be. Come back in the comments in a couple of years and prove me wrong, the internet. But you can't, can you? Because it was bad.
No, you just said not incredible.
They filmed it in a cupboard. Well, I'm saying it's bad.
Anyways, the story of this... The world is cynical.
Mm.
And the lead actress in this...
More like the blood of the... Are we watching the news?
Wow, you're not wrong, Mason.
Yes.
Casey, she goes to a very cynical school where every teacher's like, the world's burning down and you're an idiot.
That's right. Don't even try. But she's like, I will try some things.
And they hate that.
I'll try terrorism. I'll try terrorism against the government is what I'll try.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And my dad will be like... Stop doing this terrorism. I'm sort of mad about it.
I work for the government or NASA.
I work for the company you're doing a terrorism against.
Kind of Interstellar in that way, isn't it? Because in this, they've given up on space travel and optimism, which is what Interstellar did and whatever.
So true.
Anyways, in the 50s or 60s or whatever, there was a little boy, George Clooney, and his name is Frank Walker. I want to come back to that.
Okay, sure.
And he...
Come on, I had the impression all ready to go, but all right. No, carry on. We'll do it later.
And he's saying...
Real ones know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. He gets sucked into the world of Tomorrowland, which you can access via Disneyland attraction, where they basically building a future for everybody where it's optimistic and jetpacks and slick glass and whatever.
I mean, jetpacks is just the start of it. Because he's a boy genius who can sort of make a jetpack.
Yeah.
And he sort of makes one, but then he gets thrust into the Tomorrowland pocket dimension where just like a basic like construction robot can just fix his jetpack.
Yeah, man, it's good.
So I would say he's surplus to requirements, really, isn't he?
Well, he does make a machine that can look at the future or whatever.
I guess he did do that, didn't he?
And there's also, I was going to say implied, but there's also drinks you can have every morning where you basically are immortal until you get crushed in your leg and then a big ball falls on you or whatever.
Should have had a milkshake that prevents you getting crushed to death.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the world is spiraling out. It's going to end. Mm. And Britt Robinson is like, I want to save it. And George Clooney's like, I'm not saving anything. I'm George Clooney.
Mm.
I'm the character Frank Walker. Let's talk about it. So... In the movie,
yes.
Frank Walker is named after Brad Bird's longtime associate, John Walker, who produced The Incredibles.
Okay.
But how do we know Frank Walker?
We know Frank Walker from a very local radio ad for a tile company where he goes, hello, Frank Walker from National Tiles, which adds a funny little additional wrinkle to this movie.
So also George Clooney, he's Michael Clayton. We did it. We did every week.
That's right. Except maybe the first week?
I think we did them all.
Okay, great.
From memory.
He is Michael Clayton.
Why do you think this didn't land?
Well, look.
Tomorrowland.
Look, it's a movie with a bunch of social commentary before there was like an entire branch of the internet devoted to like shooting down anything that has like a social commentary in it. Before, you know, the idea, this is before you would make a movie where somebody's like, be a bit optimistic. And then like 100 videos that week being like, this is woke slop garbage and it's blah, 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 you know, all this sort of stuff. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think
we're on the cusp of that here.
Yeah. Brad Bird had the opportunity to make a movie that was about something. And it's about, hey kids, be optimistic about the future. Don't give up. There's a lot of bad stuff, and here it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, keep trying and work
together.
Maybe
it's a radio signal.
Exactly.
That's why everything's bad.
But what he did, and I think that's a good idea, the problem is that in order for kids to watch this and be inspired by it, you have to get them in the cinema in the first place.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with George Clooney. He's not a draw. He's a draw if you love Michael Clayton, and we do. But He's not a draw for the target audience for this. And
Britt Robertson. It's the Jay Baruchel effect, I think, which we talked about.
I don't think it's even that. It's Britt Robertson, she did a fine job in this
movie.
Oh, no,
it's not a performance.
I think she's fun.
It's an age thing.
It's not. I don't think it's even an age thing. It's like, well, I mean, it is an age thing, but nobody knows who this is.
Mm.
I went and I looked up pop star girlies in 2015.
Okay, what do
you know what I said? Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Bring Taylor Swift in. You're Disney, you've got unlimited money.
Yep.
Get Taylor Swift in and she can be like, the environment's bad, but you can make it good. And people would, they'd swarm the cinema.
That's probably true.
They needed to stunt cast this and they didn't do it. Or Only Murders in the Building.
Nikki Webster.
No, not Nikki Webster. Man. Selena Gomez.
Exactly.
Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. That'd be terrific. And she could have been like, I'm a bit cynical, but I'm not that cynical. And you should recycle.
Yeah.
And drink that shake that prevents you from being crushed to death by a crane or whatever.
No, it doesn't do that.
Oh.
I think it's very clear.
Don't worry about it then.
Yeah, don't worry about the shake. I think also, yeah, and we said this at the time when it came out on our podcast, The Weekly Planet. This is a collection of things for nobody now.
Yeah.
I understand Brad Bird loves this aesthetic and this kind of world building. All of his movies are basically this, with the exception of like Mission Impossible.
It's retrofuturism. It's, what do they call it? Ray gun science fiction, you know?
Exactly. Also, I think this is pretty good. I liked it better than I did when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's interesting going back to this like 10 years after and being like, fuck, things are way worse than they were 10 years ago.
Social media hadn't even reached its peak.
No.
At this point.
Not at all. I'll say this, though. You know, as I said, it looks good. A lot of it was like real locations. The touching the pin and then appearing in the other dimension effect is great. Mm-hmm. And that's done for real. That's just clever editing, which I think is fantastic. You know, it's not
wouldn't do that these days.
No clever editing anywhere. Like, I like that. I love the product placement. Oreos, ice cold Coca-Cola, a store full of Star Wars IP that indicates that Disney just got the Star Wars IP and they had a new Star Wars movie coming out soon.
Oh, nice.
Just all the special effects and musical cues from Star Wars. It's got great guest appearances. Catherine Hahn, Keegan-Michael Key, Judy Greer as a classic dead mum edited out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the Tron Legacy school of movie making as
absolutely
well.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's just not, I don't want to say it's not anything, because that's not true.
Mm.
It doesn't feel worthless or weightless. Is it just wrong place, wrong time?
I kind of think it could be, yeah.
I think maybe 2007. You do this at like, I don't know, leading up to the Obama era when everyone had misplaced optimism.
Okay.
I think maybe that's where this goes.
They didn't know they were leading up to the Obama era, did they?
No, I know that.
Love him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not a war criminal. He shouldn't be in jail. I don't want to get into the specifics because then you start ranking presidents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all dog shit, man. They're all bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's everywhere, man. You know what I mean? The government.
The government, man. All we're saying is we were looking forward to a wonderful, optimistic era where the president love to drone strike a wedding. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Maybe we could have put it there, but we didn't know.
Yeah. Though I will say, there's a ruthlessness to this movie. They're pursued by robots.
Who love to kill.
They're just obliterating people.
At a number of points, someone asks the main character if she's on drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you wouldn't put that in a Disney movie these days.
Man, not
just because then you put the idea of drugs in a kid's head.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's that? I'll try it.
I'll do drugs.
I'll go to social media and I'll look up drugs.
I'll go to Vine and look up drugs. It's 2015.
I'll ask ChatGPT about drugs and it'll say, you're a genius for thinking about doing drugs. You should do it.
Grok, should I do drugs? Yes.
Here's a cool picture of you doing drugs with Elon Musk. He's cool.
He is cool. Okay, so they have to get back into Tomorrowland to save the world or whatever.
And they have to sort of do it sort of a roundabout way. Yeah. They do some driving.
Yeah.
They do some teleporting.
Yeah.
Then they do some rocket ship in an Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, man.
Pretty cool.
Because, yeah, everybody's given up. Tomorrowland has collapsed in on itself as an idea because they basically built a machine, George Clooney, Frank Walker, hello, that predicts the future, and it's saying that the world is going to collapse.
Because everybody's pessimistic.
Everybody's pessimistic. All the climate stuff is going to all arrive at the very same time, and there's going to be nuclear strikes, and all the dolphins are going to kill themselves. They're going to slit their wrists.
That's right.
It's all over. But it turns out that future is only relevant because House, Hugh Laurie, two TV doctors in this, by the way.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoever George Clooney played in ER, I don't know his fucking name, man.
Dr.
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 Dr. on the side of sexiness.
Nice.
Thank you. Is they could have put McDreamy or McSteamy. You make it a triple Doc the movie.
Doctor on the side of that haircut. You know the one.
I know the one. Brush it down. Yeah. Because they're basically they're sending this signal to Earth, and it's interfering with people's brains, so they're only getting like the most negative picture of society. And in
it's called social media, man. It's
well, that's the thing, right? Because I guess that's what it's supposed to be. Mm. But I wish it was just like the solution to this that you pull the plug on this, and then everybody's
fine again.
Fine. I just don't.
No.
I didn't resonate with that. Mm. Like, that's not going to happen, is it? Like,
no. So, well, I mean, I guess that.
I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't going to happen in this movie, but it just felt.
I guess the downer of this kind of movie is that you are presenting the world with a kind of a techno-magical solution that the real world can never actually obtain. It's like, well, what we'll do is we'll take all the technology, the super advanced future technology from tomorrow, and we'll give it to a bunch of little robot girls, and they'll go out out in the world, and they'll give it to all the kids, and they'll be optimistic, and then we can save the world. But guess what? We don't have any of those things.
No, we've got nothing, though.
We've only got Roombas. What are we going to do? Put a shake on a Roomba?
Yep.
And deliver it? Oh, that's maybe. DoorDash, isn't it?
Yeah, that is DoorDash, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Do you want food? Do you want food? And it comes to you and you go, this seems expensive. Didn't this used to be cheaper?
I want that, but also, can I have it? It's normally hot food, but now it's room temperature.
Mate.
It's kind of congealed?
Yeah, yeah.
Can
it's
I have that?
It's in one bag. It's all kind of squished together. All the
like
other
a food, rat king.
Like a rat king of whatever food you had.
Nice. I'd love that. Yeah, I would love that. How can we do that? DoorDash.
Use offer code, go fuck yourself. Do you think if the Eiffel Tower split open and a rocket flew out of it, people would be like, wow, wonder and awe? Or would they just be like, who cares?
I think they'd be like, what's this an ad for? Tomorrowland. The music festival.
DoorDash.
Manchmal willst du einfach nur ans Meer. Oder durch die Straßen einer lebendigen Stadt schlendern. Oder endlich den Moment genießen. Einfach die Welt mit TUI neu erleben. Mit TUI reist du so, wie du willst. Als Familie, zu zweit oder einfach allein. Flexibel, sicher und immer mit dem guten Gefühl, dass jemand da ist, wenn es drauf ankommt. Gestalte mit TUI Urlaub ganz nach deinen Wünschen. Überall im Reisebüro, auf tui.com und in der App.
Nice.
I don't know. Okay, I'll say this. Tomorrowland, I think, is the world looks great. Even run down, I'm like, damn, this looks like Andor. Looks like where they filmed Andor.
It does look like they filmed Andor.
Which I don't mind, yeah.
Greenland or something.
Yeah, and big retro robots fighting each other. That's
pretty cool.
Fun.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Doing a punch up. Crushed House, that's good. I'm enjoying all that. Hugh Laurie. Mm. You know, I know he's, you know, he's getting into the spirit of things when he's wearing a wig. You know.
Did they go into space?
Yeah, they went up to go back.
No, but I mean the people who lived in Tomorrowland.
Oh, good.
Because they had a
question.
Space, they had like a space, they had like a interstellar shuttle port or something.
Yeah.
So have they gone into space? Or do they just, did that never get built? Because what we see of the future of Tomorrowland, and everybody's running around Tomorrowland, and this is great, that's an ad, remember?
Yes.
That's just an ad, and a lot of it was or was not real?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and it ends with, because like you mentioned, like little robot kids go out in the world and give people pins, and then you can live in an optimistic world, but only if you're optimistic. And if you're not optimistic, too bad. You stay in squalor.
Also, you know, statistically speaking, a bunch of the kids who find those pins are going to like walk into a lake.
Well,
or
that's
something.
What I was going to say. Just like step off a train. Like, you know, like.
I guess the idea behind the pins originally was when you were given the pin, you were already pretty much right next to Tomorrowland because you're at the World's Fair, right? So they weren't really designed for you to find one like 100 miles
away
from
it. Oh, that's
a
great point. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Maybe the new ones have been like,
yeah,
they'll give you a little heads up warning if you're about to walk off a bridge or something.
It is crazy that you have to cover that actual distance to get to Tomorrowland. Also, they arrive in the same spot that Casey does. So what does that mean, even?
I don't know, man.
You know?
I don't know.
God,
but I was swept away in a magical world, and I think that's important.
I was sort of swept away at certain points when I went, oh, yeah. Remember this?
Oh, yeah, not bad.
It's my favorite movie that I've seen at the
Look
moment.
Look at all this Star Wars IP in this shop.
Yeah, that was good,
so
wasn't
good.
It? Yeah, and they're robots. Anyways, it's time for Tomorrow Trivia.
I love that.
A world trivia. The store that Casey visits is named Blast from the Past. That's the same name as the store that Marty McFly visits in Back to the Future 2.
I've got some facts about that store also.
Please.
Keegan-Michael Key's character.
Yes.
His name is Hugo Gernsback.
Okay.
Who is a famously a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Of a science fiction magazine back in the day.
Is it good?
I don't know. It's old. I'm not reading it.
So no.
But also, I think that's also a reference to a William Gibson story called The Gernsback Continuum, which is about a photographer who goes on an assignment and he keeps seeing glimpses of a retro-futuristic future.
I keep seeing a glimpse of this.
Right?
Right.
Which is what happens in the movie.
That's what's happened.
They're seeing glimpses.
Brad Bird, he was ordering X-ray specs in the 50s and 60s out of the back of whatever, wasn't
he?
Yeah.
He probably got that Charles Atlas bodybuilding
definitely
method.
Definitely. Shoes with springs on them or whatever.
Become the muscliest bird on the beach.
Here's some names that were up for the lead.
Yes.
Shailene Woodley and Emilia Clarke. They turned it down. Do you think that would have helped? I mean, peak Emilia Clarke.
When was Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones started 2011.
Oh.
So, you know.
That would have got some eyes on this. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Something to think about. Mm-hmm. George Clooney got the biggest salary of his career for this movie, even more than Michael Clayton probably made at the box office. $25 million.
Nice, not bad.
Yeah. He looks good.
He looks great.
There's no denying it. He's a handsome movie star. Can we agree?
He's the
Can you at least meet me halfway on that, Mason?
He's
for
an
once?
Okay. He's an okay movie star. All right. He's one of the top 50 movie stars.
He might be. Michael Giacchino, who of course he did the score for this movie, and he also directed Werewolf by Night and other things. Mm-hmm. He is the ride operator for It's a Small World.
Oh, in
Step
the movie.
Right up.
Not in real life.
No.
Presumably.
Maybe after this they put him on it.
Maybe.
As penance.
One would hope that writing the score for this and a bunch of other movies, including The Batman, would get him enough money that he could quit his job at the ride operator of It's a Small World.
Yeah. Have you ever been on It's a Small World?
No.
Sucks!
Wow.
Box office Mason.
Oh, I have a fun fact.
Okay.
Beeman's gum that they used, that someone chews in this movie.
Yeah.
It's also the Rocketeer's gum.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's a movie retro or something?
I don't know if it's a real gum or whatever, but.
Doesn't matter.
They own the IP.
That's right.
Yeah. But you can probably buy it at Disney World or whatever.
I bet you can probably buy it at Disney World.
And it says on the side of it, don't plug up your rocket pack with it. You'll die. You'll die if you're Timothy Dalton. You'll die.
You're Timothy Dalton. You'll die. Says it on the pack.
Yeah, but that's wrong because he'll never die.
He can't. Mm. Box office on a budget of $190 million.
That's not insane.
Well, it's not.
It's not cheap,
John
is it?
Carter was like 300. Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm. This made 209.
Okay.
Yeah. But Brad Bird was like, you know what? I made exactly the movie that I wanted to make. And I think that is true. This doesn't feel tampered with or like watered down or like they changed a bunch of stuff in reshoots. It feels whole.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is that.
Yeah. If only anyone had seen it. They'd be like, this is a whole movie. They'd say, this is a whole ass movie. You know?
They would say that, yeah.
It's a shame I'm not even watching it. I'm on my phone.
But I guess that brings me to, and we've asked this every week, do you think this movie was a giant waste of time and money?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I do respect the singular vision of it.
Yeah.
And I like Brad Bird as a director.
But I think almost everyone who watches this movie goes, huh, all right.
What?
But who's it for, though?
Yeah.
Not me, the person who took the time to watch this.
Yeah.
Did you like it? I kind of did.
Would you recommend it? Hard to say.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend it to you, but you're going to go, huh. In a way, it's a kind of woke mind virus, James.
Well, is it?
Because you give it, you recommend it to someone and they watch it and they go, huh. All right.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to someone? Yeah, but they'll go, huh.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway, I looked into, because I wanted to know, what is Brad Bird up to? The muscliest bird on the beach.
Oh, yes.
He's making a movie called Ray Gun. Now, you might be like.
That sounds about bloody right.
No, you might be like, oh, it's that woman who did Australian breakdancing or whatever.
No, I was thinking it's probably a biography of one of our greatest presidents, Ronald Reagan.
That's a good guess. But what it is, and you're not going to believe this, it's a movie set in an alternate future.
Huh.
Yeah, wait right. for it.
Go on.
It's a detective film. It's going to be funny, and it's a mashup of the Maltese Falcon and Buck Rogers.
Both things the kids love these days.
They do. It's animated, which I think will probably play to its strengths.
They've got to hope that some TikTok influencer takes the name Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
And they can trick some people into the theatres with this.
Absolutely. Apparently it's set in the sprawling, magnificent city of Metropia, an alternate future.
Wow.
There you go. So look forward to that whenever that happens.
You know what? I'm 100% going to watch it.
Yep.
And I'm going to get that work mind virus.
Finally. You've been trying for ages to get that. You're not wearing a mask or anything.
Correct.
Like having people cough in your mouth. Yeah.
Maltese Falcon, more like the Diversity Falcon?
Yeah, the Diversity Falcon.
Yeah, that's
carries
right.
a pride flag or whatever.
Typical.
Yeah, it would be of the Diversity Falcon. It would be typical of them. Mason?
Yes?
This has been incredible.
I agree.
wonderful 4 weeks.
To be clear, it hasn't been The Incredibles.
No.
It's been a movie subsequent to The Incredibles.
And a series of movies leading up to that.
Oh, that's right.
And at BigSandwich.co, do you know what we do there?
What?
We do early videos, Caravan of Garbage.
Yes.
We do video game Let's Plays.
Oh, yes.
We do bonus podcasts.
That's right.
We do movie commentaries.
Yes.
We, of course, have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, where we talk the movie of the week and a bunch of hot Hollywood news, and we make fun of it.
One day it'll be Ray Gun.
One day it will be, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Is there any more of these? There's got to be more of these. Sky Captain. We've got to watch Sky Captain.
That's a good one. Zathura, we did it.
Yeah.
Damn it. That was the only two.
Nah, there's more than that.
There's definitely more than that.
Mm.
Do you want to hint towards next week?
Yes.
Wrath or Clash of the Titans, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Because of 3D and...
Is that why?
Avatar.
But
Sam
also
Worthington.
The Odyssey.
Oh, shit, yeah. That's not out for a while, though, is
no.
it? Unrelated.
No. Yeah.
Unrelated. Thank you so much to Lawrence for the edit. Do you know he did this all by himself without Ben's help?
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Is it the lack of quality or...
It's how good it is.
Too much quality.
Too much quality.
More quality than Ben has done is what you're saying?
What I'm saying is I think Ben's been holding him back.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
These guys have been incredible. Ben did the first one, then Lawrence, then Ben, then Lawrence.
They
round robined it to Mason.
Wow.
And you can really tell.
You can tell because it feels like each one of them has been holding the other one back. It's the best work they've ever done.
Absolutely true. All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week.
We'll be back to wrap up the year. A couple more to go, though. Don't worry. A
couple of Titans.
That's
and I'm
true.
Not just talking about us.
The movies.
Yeah, the movies.
We're looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
Manchmal willst du einfach nur ans Meer. Oder durch die Straßen einer lebendigen Stadt schlendern. Oder endlich den Moment genießen. Einfach die Welt mit TUI neu erleben. Mit TUI reist du so, wie du willst. Als Familie, zu zweit oder einfach allein. Flexibel, sicher und immer mit dem guten Gefühl, dass jemand da ist, wenn es drauf ankommt. Gestalte mit TUI Urlaub ganz nach deinen Wünschen. Überall im Reisebüro, auf tui.com und in der App.
Audible präsentiert Knochenkälte. Das neue Hörbuch der Bestsellerreihe David Hunter von Simon Beckett. Der Anthropologe sucht Schutz im Forest Hotel. Doch was er findet, lässt ihm das Blut in den Adern gefrieren.
Aber das war es nicht, was mich erstarren ließ, sondern das Gewehr in seiner Hand.
In der Dunkelheit lauert mehr als nur die Angst.
Etwas schlug gegen die Scheibe des Wagens. Ich sah eine Gestalt und fuhr zusammen.
Welches düstere Geheimnis trägt dieser Ort? Jetzt hören, nur bei Audible.